Good morning, everyone. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. The rapture of the church has taken place, not today, but in the future, in the context of our scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. All you need to do is remember the number 4, right? 4. The number 4. Because the number 4 is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's the rapture of the church, verses 13 through 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then Revelation chapter 4 is when that takes place. So the number 4 will help you be getting your theology correct and that timeline with regard to the prophecy of Jesus. The revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to reveal the future. All God's people say, amen. Amen. And that's what it is. It's the apocalypse, which is an unveiling, pulling the curtain back and letting us see God's plan for the future. Remember when that curtain was torn from top to bottom in the temple? What was that? That was a revelation of God. Jesus' body was the torn curtain, the veil, rent from top to bottom. And his body was rent for us, slain for us on the cross. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and riches and power and might. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created you a male or a female for his own glory, and you don't have the right to change that. All God's people say, hey, really, you can't change it. You're just fooling yourself. So we're in a society today where it is raised up for people to blaspheme the name of Christ. Even if you're standing by our governor, pretending to be a woman and you're born a man, you're still a man. All God's people say. Amen. See, today's society is so afraid to tell the truth. And folks, we've got to tell the truth, because if we don't acknowledge God as our Savior, we don't need Him as our Creator. We don't need Him as a Savior. Because He saves fallen creation from our sins. Oh, I think God saves us from hell. That's a result. That's a result of saving us from our sins. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the way, that's true in the tribulation period too. You'll see. At the end of the message today, we will see that God will give everyone a chance in the tribulation period. Think about it. He'll send His angel. He'll pronounce the gospel to every person, everywhere, all across the planet. And they'll make their choice. Some will still love their sin so much, they'll blaspheme God's name and they'll reject Christ. Christ opens the scroll. It's sealed with seven seals, perfectly sealed. Seven spirits before the throne of God, which are the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so perfect that He knows what's going on in your mind right now. He knew what you were thinking yesterday, years before, and He knows what's going to be in your mind in the future, and He knows what's going to be in your mind forever. Now that's power. I know the thoughts that come into your mind, every one of them. I don't know about you, but knowing that, I pray that I'd bring all my thoughts into captivity and obedience of Christ, which means I don't raise up the thoughts of men above the thoughts of God. Because the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. And we need to trust the Lord. So we're worshiping the Lamb. Because of who He is, He's worthy to take the scroll. John, stop that crying. Stop crying. I'm giving you the revelation. You're writing it down. No one stood up. He didn't say who's willing. He said who's worthy to take the scroll and unroll it. Right? And only one was worthy, a lamb. He kept back in John's vision of the Lord. There's a man standing there, then there's a slain lamb. And these things are going back and forth in imagery in his mind. Well, the man who stands to take the scroll is the slain lamb. It's Jesus Christ. All God's people say, amen. Amen. By the way, amen. Bailey, I got, you know, years ago, you know, you dropped me a little picture. We're going to put that on the screen, Bailey. Can we do that next Sunday? Can we put your picture up here? Okay. I look more like Hitler or something in the picture, but anyway. It's so funny. And this guy, you know how you got these little blurps, you know, of people thinking something, they're saying something? Well, Bailey, I should have asked her permission ahead of time. She said yes. Okay. A number of years ago, she drew this. Pastor Long was up here preaching. And all God's people say, I said that so many times, and everybody's got amen coming out. You know, these little. we gotta put that up there next week. It's so important. Amen means it is true. Jesus is the amen. And so whenever these four cherubim, four different faces representing God's creation, one's a calf or an ox, one's the face of a man, the other an eagle, and so on. So anyways, they have these faces, they're all worshiping the Lord, and they lead us in worship before the Lord. By the way, when John preaches that passage, which we looked at last week in Revelation 5, he shoots past the millennial reign to the great white throne judgment and incorporates it all into one. And that is the fulfillment of Philippians chapter 2, where every knee will bow, everyone. There's Buddha. There's Muhammad. Now, they're not believers, but they'll be believers in that day. But the eternal damnation's already sealed, right? Because they didn't believe upon the Lord in their life. And they taught falsehoods, false gods. But there's only one God. He's in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is what? Lord, rightful reigner. Lord to the who? To the glory of God the Father. So there's no jealousy in the Trinity. They're not jealous of one another. But they are three persons in one God. Now, folks, listen. I can't understand it. I just proclaim it. Amen? In the beginning, God. And if you don't start with in the beginning, God, you won't understand today what's going on either. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. In Luke chapter 4, Luke wrote down when Jesus was in the temple, quoting from Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 21, he says this, Luke 4, 17 through 21. And there was delivered to him a book of the prophet of Isaiah, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Imagine Jesus standing and reading this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's where he closed the book. And he said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This day it's fulfilled. And the part that he didn't read, not yet fulfilled yet, he goes on to say, to proclaim what else? The day of the vengeance of our God. And in Revelation chapter 6, the day of the vengeance of our God, the wrath of God, has come. And that's where we are. You know, it goes from Revelation 6 here through 19, and that's the tribulation period. What on earth is going on? We'll know when we're in heaven what on earth is going on. And here's the thing, folks. No matter what's going on in our planet today, it is all drawing us to that day when we stand before God. Whether it's the rapture or our natural passing from this life, we're going to stand before the Lord. And I don't know about you, I've made my choice as a sinner to stand there in the righteousness of Christ. No merit of my own, no works that I've done, believing on the one who did the work for us on the cross, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Lord, that means he is God and sovereign ruler. Jesus is his personal name, meaning Savior. And then Christ is a title. Christ means the anointed one. It fulfills the Old Testament offices of prophet, priest, and king. Now you can see how I can go on with one word, right? That's exactly right. All these things are pregnant with truth. You can't exhaust them, even the name. This is a title, Christ. It means you are anointed with oil and set apart for that service. David, king anointed. Samuel, king, prophet anointed. And then prophet, priest, and king. You see all these were anointed for that particular service in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus is the only one who's anointed and fulfills all three of those offices. For instance, as a prophet, he has his back toward the people and he's facing God and he represents them to God as a priest, offering up acceptable sacrifices unto the Lord. As a prophet, he has his back toward God. He hears the word of God. He says, thus saith the Lord, and he doesn't change the message whether you're smiling or not. Amen. Because he's he's listening to God. And then as king, he has a right to rule and has a power of life and death. Prophet, priest, king. So Jesus is the only one anointed who could have done this work. God in human flesh, our perfect prophet, our perfect priest, and our rightful king. That's a short message before the other message today. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoy it every time I review that. I enjoy it. It revives my soul. How long is the tribulation period? 7 years. We'll look from different passages today, but we can't exhaust it all since the Lord took from chapter 6 to 19 to talk about the tribulation period. Don't think I'm going to get it done in 45 minutes, right? Okay, there's a reason for that. John tells us those who have this hope in them, it works as a purifying effect in their life. What ought to be the effect of the tribulation period on our life? And why are we getting it since we're going to be in heaven anyways? We're getting it so that we will walk closely with God and we'll be a witness of the Lord and we'll give warning to people to flee the wrath to come. We'll walk humbly with God, knowing that He's worthy. And we'll be a witness of the Lord of the gospel, the way of salvation. And we'll warn people to flee the wrath that's coming. That's right. Better to fear God than to fear man. The fear of man brings a snare. Daniel the prophet was reading as he was in captivity, a Babylonian captivity. And then he read the writings of Jeremiah. You mean one prophet was reading the writings of another prophet before him? Yes, he was. By the way, if you claim to be a prophet of God and you prophesied something that didn't come true, guess what happened to you? They put you to death because you were a liar. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So whatever he says, that's what's going to happen. And all God's people say again, amen. It is true. At the end of this worship of the Lord, amen is said again. Amen is said again. Amen is said again. Over and over. So we do say that a lot around here because we like saying, boy, that's true. That is so. That is true. And may it be in my life too when we say amen. So Daniel is reading as he's in Babylonian captivity. He opens Jeremiah's writing, 25:11-12. And he realizes that the 70-year captivity, that's the length of it, and he's almost at the end of it. So he begins to tell people, hey, we're going to be delivered. And they would have laughed him out of town. Oh, yeah, we can see that. We're supposed to be walking by faith, not by... So even though he was, excuse me, locked up, as it were, they were going to be delivered. Just like Moses when he was used of God to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian slavery in the past, we see that God is going to use these things to deliver Israel. He's going to pour out plagues on the earth. They're going to be caught up in some of it too. If you think it's bad when angry men pour out their wrath, wait till you see God's wrath pour out. In fact, he tells his wrath is poured out on rebelling hearts. Those who have rejected Jesus as Lord. They get harder like Pharaoh. God gave Pharaoh 10 chances. Nine chances, said, okay, the last one, your son's going to die. Because, you know, the son was supposed to be the next god that reigns. That's what pharaohs were. They were gods, you know. And so God gave him a warning. Here's what happened with Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Listen, it's very important. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then God said, okay, now I'm going to harden it. Boy, you don't want God hardening your heart. You better swallow hard on that one. Because if God hardens your heart after you have hardened your heart toward the gospel again and again and again, if God hardens your heart, then he's going to use you as a negative example of what not to do and what the results of sin are. You don't want to harden your heart toward God. You want to have the mercy of God exercised in your life. What happened to the fear of God in America? Men want peace and justice and righteousness unless they've abandoned God in their thinking. And when they do, they go about doing the satanic work of killing, stealing other people's possessions, and destroying other people's property. Sounds like I'm reading yesterday's news. Last night's riot. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, he energizes, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'll tell you how to get along with other race of people. There's only one race, actually, God's race. The other race have their skin colors of people. I'll tell you how to get along with them. Go to Jesus Christ. Because it says right there in chapter 5 that all kindreds, tongue, and nation shall come before him. He will save a remnant out of every language, every ethnic group of people. They will be there before the Lamb, having been believers of the Lamb. That's the only thing that unifies people. The only true peace is going to be when Jesus reigns in our heart. You got any trouble going on at work? Got any trouble in your marriage? Trouble with your kids? You better go right back to Jesus Christ. That's going to be the only peacemaker. All God's people say, amen. So believers are in heaven. We see that as worshiping the Lamb and the Father as their Creator, who is worthy to be praised. They're in heaven. And then I want to read this prediction about the tribulation. Did I read Revelation 6 yet? No. I'll read Revelation 6 and then we'll turn to 1 Thessalonians. Revelation 6, verses 1 through 8. Here's what's happening. Revelation 6, 1. And when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. How many seals are there? Seven. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. These are judgments. Every time a seal is opened, suffering's coming. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, those are the cherubim, come and see. Come, look, and see means understand. And I saw and behold a white horse. There's going to be four horses. The four horsemen. Apocalypse. Now. Battle of Armageddon beginning. Okay. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow. But he didn't have any arrow, did he? And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So he was accomplishing his work without an arrow. Verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Another, come find out what, he keeps repeating that. And all of these seals for our understanding. Verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take from the earth, and they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. This sword is not a large sword. This is the handheld combative sword where you personally just kill another person. Some one of these riotous persons walked by a man and a lady at their store, took a 2x4 out, started beating a woman, grabbing her by her hair and throwing her around, beating the man. For what reason? They just tried to protect their store. They didn't have any beef toward anyone. That's the kind of hatred we're talking about. Somebody just walking by and murdering you. This is tribulation. Now, folks, why does God allow us to see things in our present day? Because it's going to be like this in the tribulation period, only it's going to be a lot worse. A lot worse. And one of my nephew, who's going to be in the National Guard, has already signed up, getting ready to go to boot camp, I guess. One of his buddies, not real close to him, but one of his buddies, if you read my little messages or blogs, whatever you call them, walking down the street of Knoxville, Tennessee, had his uniform on. Somebody drove up behind him in a dark car. That's about all they got on him. Dark car. Pulled out a shotgun and killed him. Shot him in the back. Real heroes. And if you're of the mentality to support that kind of stuff, you better get on the right side of the truth. Amen. And God forbid if you're out there holding a sign and the police officer thinks you're just a rebel too and you get caught up into it, you probably shouldn't have been there in the first place. And I'm just going to leave that where it is because some of you might turn me off, but those are my positions with regard to solving problems in the earth. It's not going to be by putting other people to death. That's how the world works. Not good. Verse 5, when I heard the third seal, I heard a third beast saying, come and see. And behold, lo, a black horse. And he sat upon him, had a pair of balances in his hand. And we see that this one has to do with the cost of things. It's going to be greatly exceeded. Your money is going to be so devalued. I am so glad I got a... Now I'm getting in my political stuff again. I'm going to get in trouble here. Let's just have a little fun, okay? I'm so glad I got that check from President Trump. Boy, I just can't wait to get another one. Well, okay. Your dollar was already worth 75 cents. And as soon as they sent that money, your dollar buying value is now down to about 45 cents. So you actually lost money. You put a Band-Aid on the situation, but you lost money. See what I mean? Now, Pastor Long, don't be, you know, telling us the truth. We can't see how those things can happen. Well, right here it is, the devalue of the money in the tribulation period. And that, by the way, is a step toward communism. When they loaded their dollars in wheelbarrows just to go buy a loaf of bread, they brought it in by the wheelbarrows. How many of you want to go underneath communism? Let's go on. Told you I'd get myself in trouble, right? Verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So God's going to allow Israel to be sustained by those two avenues, their oil and food supply pictured in the wine. Oil will be natural resources. And by the way, that's one reason why all the earth is coming against Israel. Why should they be blessed when we're not? They're actually coming against God. So, if you don't understand it's all going toward the Lamb and worship of the Lamb, you don't understand why you're even in existence. God created us for His own glory, and we fell short of that glory, therefore we need to ask Jesus to save us from our sins. Verse 8, and I looked and beheld a pale horse. Oh, I don't think that viruses and disease can affect any nation. We got one service going on here for a couple months now because of one supposed virus. What happens when they're poured out in multiplicity? Will it change you? Will it change? Oh, it'll change the earth. That's what this pale rider is. He's just called death. You know, you don't look so good. You're looking kind of pale. Verse 8 in the middle, we'll read the whole thing again. I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and hell followed with him. The wages of sin is death, but thank God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Power was given unto them, these diseases, these plagues, these viruses, over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Folks, that simply means at the beginning of the tribulation period, one-fourth of the planet will die pretty quickly. And that's going to set the tone for this white horse rider to come in and be the one who solves it. The only person I see in the Bible, only nation I see holding out, not to go into the one world government, the only nation I see is Israel. So the Antichrist is going to make a pact with them right at the beginning of the tribulation period. And he's going to say, okay, you can keep worshiping your God. And you can, by the way, the temple's going to be rebuilt. They're going to start doing the lamb sacrifices again. It's going to be lambs, I promise you, because Jesus is the lamb. He's going to keep picturing himself again and again and again to the Jewish people, which is the nature of the tribulation. It's predominantly referring to the issue of Israel and why they rejected the king. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5 now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4. I got to move a little faster. I'm going way too slow today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 4. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, there it is, cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. I've heard the word safety so many times in the last 3 months, I'm sick of it. Play it safe. Yeah, just die in your house. The communists call that house arrest. Don't come out. Don't get any sunshine. Actually, we realize it is good to have sunshine now. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Wash your hands. Do wash your hands. Unless, of course, you're rioting. I'm back into politics again. Oh, I'm so sorry. Then we'll just chunk all that out the window because the cause is important. How devilish. How devilish. But here's what the Lord said. They're going to say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You know it's coming. I hope you know it's coming. The rapture's coming first. The tribulation period's coming after that. 50 times in the Bible, the Old Testament talks about this period of tribulation coming upon the earth. It's called the day of calamity, the day of wrath, the day of the Lord's wrath, the day of the vengeance of our God, the time of trouble, the day of the Lord. One of the more popular is Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. You mean Jeremiah was predicting the tribulation period? Yes, he was. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and even the time of Jacob's trouble. How many of you heard that one? But ye shall be saved out of it. That's the Jews who believe. Of course, Gentiles too, in the tribulation period. Over 12 times, and particularly the book of Revelation, this period of unmeasured distress, pressure, and great trouble. Revelation 3:10, it's called the hour of temptation. That means after the rapture, the inhabitants of the earth are going to be extremely tested as to who they will follow to worship. Are you going to worship sin, self, and Satan? Or the earth's rightful creator and savior? That's the choice that will have to be made. And some of them who choose to go with the lamb that was slain, to worship him, they will be put to death. In fact, a lot of them will. One of the things that sends people to hell, listen to this, is fear. Fear of man versus fear of God. You read it. That's on the list of people who go to hell. They were afraid of the consequences of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for people like Jim Elliot, who wasn't afraid to take the gospel into the world, but he was put to death. Aren't you going to be looking forward to standing by that guy one day? I don't know if I can even look that guy in the face. His mind was so controlled by the things of the future and seated in Christ that he wasn't afraid to die. Folks, that's how it works. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, the Antichrist comes riding on a white horse. The first seal is broken by the Lord and reveals what's happened. Then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just some New Testament passages to show you that it teaches about the tribulation period that will come. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Well, we know that, don't we? We can see that every day. Just watch the news. Might be a good thing just to turn it off, though. Same old stuff. Stirring hatred towards other cultures. It's not good. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's God the Spirit. You know, God the Spirit is restraining the full exercise of men's desire to murder, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's restraining it. What about when he removes the restraint? That's going to be part of the tribulation judgment, removing the restraint. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Please save your money. All these people say, and I know who it is. It's Obama. He's the Antichrist. Somebody said it's Bill Clinton. And another person said, I think Hillary's closer to that. Oh, see, I'm in trouble. Somebody said, Ronald Eugene Reagan, 666. So, I mean, you can just do all these calculations you want, you know. And the real thing going on in the Bible with these numbers, I mean, I know the King James Version is the only real translation because there's 9 letters in it. 9 fruit of the Spirit. Come on. You're not going to do that, are you? I think we better just find out what's revealed here and believe the truth.
That's right.
And go with that. So when will the wicked one be revealed? After the rapture of the church. So save your money, these books, these guys. It's just speculation. And it's wrongful speculation. Anybody who you think not going to be in heaven can be there if they repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the same reason why you're going, if you're going. You can be a thief on a cross and say, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that's faith. And Jesus said, okay, after you go through about 7 or 8 years of purgatory, then you... Another made up thing, right? No, today you're going to die, but today you'll be with me in paradise. I love it. Wow, that's the power of God. The other thief on the other side died. They were accusing the Lord in the middle. He went to hell. Hades, whatever you want to call it. That's coming. Let me just keep on reading. 2 Thessalonians 2. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. They jump into the end of the tribulation now. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We're coming with him, by the way, back on that event. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan. That's who energizes this Antichrist. With all power and signs, that's miracles and lying wonders. Oh, look what's happening. That's going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation period. That's how Satan will take over. By deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. He easily moves unsaved people. Why? Because they're already moving by their flesh. They're denoted as not receiving not the love of the truth. That's Jesus. That they might be saved. They said no. And for this cause, God's going to harden their heart. You harden your heart, now I'm going to harden it. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And there's a growing segment of people. I tried to look at some of it last night, but I couldn't. UFOs are going to cause all these people to disappear. They're going to say some reason other than the rapture, I can tell you that. They're going to be wanting to believe something. So put away your little Martian because he doesn't exist. All that satanic garbage coming out to make an excuse for why millions of people are going to disappear from the planet in an instant. That's called the rapture of the church, all God's people say. Amen. Daniel prophesied it too. He had a dream. God put a dream. Now we have the written word. We don't need dreams. Daniel 7:13-14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. This is the return at the end of the tribulation period. You're going to be with them. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given to him dominion and glory and kingdom. Why? Because he deserves these things. And all people, every ethnic group, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And that is the Messiah. He shall sit on David's throne. And he's going to sit there alone. Will we be sitting around him? Yes. But he is the one to be worshipped. I don't have time to go into it, but Daniel chapter 9 tells us that, reveals that 7, again, is a perfect block of time, like the creation week, 6-day creation, 7th day. That was a segment of time, day of rest. These 77s, outline the future of God's dealing with Israel. They're actually called weeks, but they're actually 7 years. There's only one more 7-year period yet to be fulfilled, since the other 7s were fulfilled up to the cross. The church age, many of the prophets didn't realize it was going to take place because they were just looking over the mountaintops of history, the future plan of God, future to come. They didn't see the valley of the church age. Many of them did not. 7 seals will be opened, in the tribulation period, poured out suffering, blaspheming of God and the Lamb. 7 trumpets, this is in the second part of the tribulation called the Great Tribulation. There's a tribulation period, 7 years, but the last half of it, 3.5, is called the Great Tribulation because it's going to get a lot worse. The trumpets and the bowls are in that last 3.5 years. What's the purpose of the tribulation period? Amongst other things, it's for the inhabitants of the earth to recognize and worship the true God, to repent of their evil deeds and return to worship to the rightful owner of heaven and earth. Daniel 9:27 states the 7th week is a tribulation period. And will commence, it will start with a peace treaty signed between Israel and this new world leader who rides the white horse. He's called the Antichrist. 3.5 years into his promise that they can worship, not be a part of the one world government, he's going to break his promise, and then he's violently going to start attacking the Jews. That's the Antichrist. He's going to lead all the nations of the earth against Israel. But God is behind the scenes, drawing all men there that they might be damned and destroyed for their works against him. God's behind. Satan can't do anything God didn't allow. Have you figured that? Yes or no? God is in control. You can read Ezekiel 37-39. In the coming weeks, we'll look at different things like this. Russia, we believe it is, will come down and surround Israel to destroy it. Then God will supernaturally destroy the army of Russia. And it will take 7 years. 7 years to burn the weapons of Russia's warfare. Israel will be the one burning them. They will be burning for 7 years. That's a lot of weaponry. That's a long time. Some theologians believe that can happen right before the rapture, or it will happen right after the rapture because they burn 7 years. Interesting. Yes or no? What is the purpose of the tribulation period? Again, it's to get Israel ready to humbly believe on and receive her king. Zechariah, sobering. This is sobering. And dealing with the Jewish people. Zechariah 13, 8 through 9. It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die. That's worse than the Holocaust. And the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire. That's the tribulation. And will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, just like Job, his fate. I'm glad I don't have friends like Job whenever I get tried and tested. You know, you probably brought this on. Some of it I probably did, and some of it I probably didn't. And the same's true of you, amen? In your trouble in life. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. That's coming. Talking about Jesus. Those who died without faith in the Lamb. In other words, if there's 9 million right now in Israel, 2/3 of them will be slaughtered by the Antichrist. That means 6 million people will die in an instant in the first half of the tribulation period. There's 15 million Jews around the world, and if that's the case, then 10 million of them will die, and 5 million of them will be saved. If he's just talking about the Jews in Israel, 1/3 of them will be saved. That's 3 million people will be saved in an instant. 3 million Jews will be saved in an instant. By the way, I think that that also incorporates the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will evangelize the world, 12,000 out of each tribe. That's an exact number, folks. He goes on the other details. They're not married either, and they don't know women. And I put on there, I don't know women either. But that's not what it means. I don't understand myself half the time, much less what my wife is trying to say to me. Can we get an amen there, guys? All right. We're all in trouble now. No, meaning they don't have a physical sexual relationship with any woman. That's what it means. Romans 11, 25 through 27. Did you think, you know, these covenant people think that Israel swallowed open the church and Israel's no longer a... Listen, you better read the Bible. Romans 11, 25 through 27. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. That's called pride. Raising our thoughts up with thoughts of God. That blindness in part has happened unto Israel. Yeah, this is the church age. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the rapture. That's when it's done. And so all Israel shall be saved. That's those who haven't rejected Jesus. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, capital D. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, that's Israel. For this is my covenant with them, when I shall take away their sins. And that's how we get saved, by God taking away our sins. Zechariah goes on to say in chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, and it shall come to pass in that day I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Israel. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. What a prayer. Dear Lord, pour out your spirit of grace on America or Israel or Africa or Germany. Pour out your spirit of grace, because that's what saves. And of supplication, strong crying for salvation. Anybody had any strong crying for salvation? I think it was Friday night I spent 2 or 3 hours just weeping before the Lord. Of the condition of things. Not only in our nation, but around the world. We're seeing people who are acting out things who don't know God. And it's sad. It ought to break our hearts. They shall look upon me whom they pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn, which means first place. And in some contexts, I mean, he only had one son, and the son died. And the parents wept. Jesus is the only Son of God in that sense who can save us from our sins. And when they see it, oh, you mean we crucified him? Yes, you were blinded. You didn't see him as he is, but you will one day. Peter preached this at Pentecost. Wow, you know, when you start studying the Bible, you mean way back at Pentecost when the gospel was first preached in 16 different dialects of the Jewish language, people heard in their own language amongst other Gentiles. They said, man, this is a miracle. Well, that's what Joel the prophet, I like that name, Joel. Joel the prophet prophesied it would happen, you know. Acts 2:19 through 21, quoting the prophet of Joel, Peter says, God will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. That's the tribulation. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Tribulation. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I thought Paul wrote that. Joel did. Peter preached Old Testament truth, and so did Paul. Go to Matthew 24. Got a few minutes left. That's good. You might enjoy this. Matthew 24. Did Jesus speak about the tribulation himself? Oh, yes. It's called the Olivet Discourse. What does that mean? It's the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives is where he gave it. And this is the discourse, what he taught while he was there with the disciples while he was on the earth. He told of these future events. I mean, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day. Here they are, and, you know, the Romans said, you know, are you the king of the Jews? Because, you know, Caesar's a king, so I guess we can try to accuse him on that angle. But then, but Caiaphas, you know, the Jewish high priest, he says, I adjure thee by the living God, something of this nature, tell us who you are. And Jesus said, you will see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Talking about himself. What further need do we have? Rip your shirt. Our heart's torn. This is blasphemy. It's not blasphemy if that's who you are. This is proclamation of the truth. You know, when you know the truth, it'll set you free from lies. Satan loves to do three things. Lie, lie, and lie. Lie to God people all the time, much more of unbelievers. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, did Jesus speak of the tribulation as was going to take place written in Revelation 6 as he spoke again? Answer is yes. You can write these down and give it to you later if you don't get them all. You've got 10 minutes to cover it and we're done. Stay with me. Verses 4 through 5 are the first seal that's opened the deception of the Antichrist on the white horse. Matthew 24, 4 through 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them. Well, okay, let's answer it. Verse 3. Let's do that first. Matthew 24, 3. Set the context. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, that's where he was when he taught it, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the what? End of the world. The end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, verse 4 and 5, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's the first seal. That's what Antichrist does. He works through deception. And he's only carrying a bow because he won't be shooting people. He won't be overtaken by war. He'll be overtaken by diplomacy. False promises, particularly to Israel, who will not join the one world government. Where's America? Where are we now? You take the believers out of America, and boy, you can tell real fast. Whew, we can go down the tubes fast. Do you see that? Okay, just letting you know. Well, I won't be signing up for one world government. Yes, you will. If you don't know God, why is that? Because if Bill Gates gets his way on his phone, anybody got their phone with him? He's going to have an app on there, and he wants the app to know whether you got the vaccine so it's safe enough for you to do business with you. Is it that? Could that be that close? Oh, yeah. All under the term peace and, you say it, safety. You want to be safe. You want to be safe. I don't want to marry the girl yet because I want to be safe. That might be wise. I don't want to marry him because I want to be safe. I don't want to take this job and I want to be safe. Safety is going to kill you if you're not careful. I'd rather live for something than die for nothing, all God's people say. Amen. Anyways, don't get me stirred up on that. Just kind of stay with the Bible. Verse 6 is the second seal, Matthew 24:6, the destruction of global war, the red horse bloodshed. Verse 6, the second seal is open. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What does that mean? Well, the tribulation is going to keep on going on. However, you're not to be troubled in this trouble because you know the truth. Huh? You know that if you trust Christ before this, you're going to be in heaven in the rapture. However, let's say you're in the tribulation period and you just heard the gospel and you got saved. Would that apply to you? There's no need for you to be troubled because you know to be absent from your body if you are martyred is to be what? Present with the Lord. Verse 7, the third seal is broken. Jesus opens up. This is devastation by famine or the black horse. Remember the four horses? White, red, murder, bloodshed, and then famine. Just starved to death. Starving to death. Many people today are starving to death. I imagine when I get home today, I'm going to be having roast beef, mashed potatoes. Somebody's like, yeah, hurry up and get done with this message, will you? And gravy. Oh, man. Gaining weight and enjoying it. You know, I got to tell you, one bad thing about this can't go here. I gained some weight, and I can't wait. I played basketball with my son yesterday, and I was out there, I mean, sucking the wind hard. And I told him, I can't take you anymore. He already knew that. It's been a couple years now. He's been taking me, but excuses are good on occasion, right? I'm like, man, I can't take this anymore. I got to get in shape. Well, folks, what about not having enough food to eat? Most of us don't have any taste of that whatsoever. We just open the refrigerator. We go to the store and we think, oh, there's red meat. Where does that meat come from? And one little girl said, the store! Okay, I meant, where did it come from before it got to the store? I don't know. It's just, we're so used to having things supplied for us. Most of us, me included, unless I hang out with Bill Lynn and Gregory and Nicholas, I wouldn't be eating any meat. If I had to go kill it myself, I'm not even a hunter. Okay, let's vote him out right now. I know. I get my meat at the grocery store. Who are you making fun of here, Pastor Long? Myself. I'm just so reliant on just going down to the store and getting what I want. But if the truck stopped rolling 3 days, there's not going to be any food there. That's all it would take for 3 days for the trucks to stop moving. And there would be no food in our grocery stores. Sober up In the tribulation period, you don't think that can happen. Folks, people will die of famine. One of the judgments will be famine and pestilences. What is that? That's all kind of viruses, disease. And that brings us to the fourth one in verse 7 as well. The fourth seal is disease and death, the pale horse. We have a little trouble with one particularly. What about when there's many of them poured out? And the time's gone, so let me just tell you this. In verse 9 verses 15 through 22 is the fifth seal. That's persecution and martyrdom of believers. In other words, you're put to death because you believed on Christ in the tribulation period. Verse 29, the sixth seal is open, and that's going to be all kind of cosmic disturbances. Yes, I know you want to read it, so verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That sounds like Revelation chapter 6. Sixth seal. Verse 37 is the seventh seal. Global judgments or trumpets are going to be blown here and bowls poured out, which means it's going to get a lot worse even than that. Verse 37 is the seventh seal. And folks, here are people acting as though nothing particularly is taking place. Well, behind all these things is also political, religious movements. One world government, one world religion. One man wrote very clearly, if we could just get rid of these blankety blank Christians, we could have peace in religion. They're the only one holding out. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pastor Long, what's wrong with you? Can't you just join with the Muslims and a few other false teachers in prayer? Can't we just all come together? No, we can't. Thank God for Franklin Graham, who at the beginning of Trump's presidency said, no, we can't pray with the Muslims because the Muslims don't know the true God. That's what happens when you know the truth. Many will repent and be saved in the tribulation period, but many will continue their rebellion and be damned. They will curse God. But everyone will actually get a chance to be saved. What's that? Everyone in the tribulation will actually have a chance to be saved. Matthew 24:14. God's going to send an angel to preach these things. And this is why I'm not an amillennialist or a mid-trib. I'm a pre-trib, rapture-believing Christian who interprets the Bible literally even through Revelation, all God's people say. By the way, that's supposed to be one of the conditions for you joining this church. Did you know that? Now, we can debate it in the colleges, but when you come down to a local church, there's certain things that we believe, and that's one of them. So don't secretly read some books and start promoting a mid-trib rapture theory. That's garbage. Tribulation means tribulation. Believe me, you don't want to be here for the first half of it either. I will deliver you from the wrath to come. I think I'm just going to go with the Bible. I will deliver you from this hour of temptation. I think I'm just going to go with the Bible. For those who are saved in the tribulation period, God will purify them and take them through it. Some of them will be put to death. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, all ethnic groups. And then shall the end come. You remember I told you when we studied just last week, Revelation 5, every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation? There's one language, only eight people speak it. Only 8 people speak it. And if the Bible is true, one of those people is going to be saved. That's the power of the gospel. Matthew 25:46, and we'll close. Matthew 25:46. What's going to happen in the end once this gospel is preached? Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment or damnation, but the righteous into life eternal. How do you get righteousness that results in life eternal? By believing on the righteous one. Faith. How are you going to be eternally damned? Well, you would be eternally damned if you don't believe the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. For whosoever, Peter says it, Joel says it, Jesus says it, Revelation, the revelation to John about Jesus, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whether you're in the tribulation period or out of the tribulation period, or somebody in your family saved or nobody in your family saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you walking with God? Are you waiting on the rapture? Are you witnessing to other people and warning them to flee the wrath to come? If so, then you're living the truth. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that no one in this audience today or listening online or through CDs or any other means, the truth today, would believe on anything else other than the Lamb that was slain for us, who's worthy to receive glory and honor, riches, power, and might. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for all of my wickedness, anything I've done in the past, anything that might enter my heart and mind today, and anything in the future. I thank you that you were slain for all the filthiness of my own flesh. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve salvation. But the moment I called upon you to save me at 27 years of age, you cleaned the record. And you gave me a robe of righteousness, which is yours. And you gave me a crown, which is symbolic of good works. Please work through me today for your glory, so I might have a crown to lay at your feet one day, because you're worthy of it. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.